She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
In matching blues. Oh, it's going to be fun.
You can't write 600 pages.
I pictured football positions. It's very similar.
I'm sorry. I have to talk about the penis with this sort of thick daddy length.
No killing that.
I think they're a little bit different, but yeah, we're both in blue and we are wearing shirts from our sponsor, Carpe Librum. Why are you pouting?
I told Matt to wash my shirts. They sent me two. One is my favorite color. Guess which one he washed and which one he didn't wash.
I'm guessing he did not get the baby poop green one for you.
Shut up. It's not baby poop green. It's a pretty green. But... the green one's still in the bottom of the machine. I am not happy. But I have the pretty one on. It's so soft.
So you're wearing their logo shirt, and I'm wearing their one that says read, think, act, repeat.
I like this. This was like my favorite little detail on the back, actually.
Yeah, so the backs of all of their shirts have that, except the only one that doesn't have that that I have is my professional book fairy one that has wings on the back.
Which... obviously deserves the wings.
But they also sent us bags.
Bags.
There's a shirt in here for Tom, too, because his favorite color is yellow.
I love that.
And this one says, until the lion tells the story, the hunter will always be the hero.
That's the one I got in green.
You got that one, too? So did you get this one, too? The read, think, act, repeat?
No, I just got two shirts.
Okay. Yeah.
I got two shirts.
We got three because... one is Tom. For Tom.
Yeah.
But I have the logo shirt too, but mine is gray.
Oh, okay. Oh, it looks green on my camera.
No, I don't think it is.
Is it gray? It's my eyes are terrible. Maybe it's just the lights. Oh, now I see the gray. Now I see it.
I think
gray.
It's gray. They also sent us bookmarks. So I got Born to Read, Forced to Socialize. And Readers Are Cool. And these are the magnetic ones. And check out our social media because I did a video about these bookmarks.
Look at that, man.
They hold your page so well and they don't move. And
No.
They don't bend your page either.
It's not coming out.
I know. It's pretty cool. So, yeah.
The other one's missing. I'm assuming a child stole it.
Probably. So, Carpe Librum is still offering free shipping with the code... Hello, besties, for the rest of the
month
of September.
Hello, besties.
They'll have a new deal in October. But if you want to save on shipping, get it now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, so besides your crappy shirt thing, what else is going on with you?
Let's see. I'm dying inside. No. Girls are back to school. You know how it is. Both girls are in ROTC now. Mm-hmm. So that's making life a lot busier.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot busier. And I watched Livia's stuff two sheets into her backpack this week for school.
Sheets? Like for the bed?
Like top sheets. The
Why?
Closest things to for theater.
Oh.
They were doing a lip sync challenge and they needed them for it.
Well, fair.
But it was just so wild. I'm like, you really need two king sheets? And she's like, yes.
Yes, I do, in fact. My boys are also back at school. We got official word today that James got accepted into beta, which means both boys will be in the beta National Honor Society for this school year, which is really cool.
That's what's up.
Yeah. I have been incredibly busy at work.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, so I got promoted and I took over as branch manager, but I'm also training two people while I'm also in training.
So, and reading a book a week and doing Boy Scouts and still momming.
Well, I haven't actually been to Scouts because I've been so busy I haven't been able to go, but I'm not a Scout leader this year.
Oh, okay.
But it's first time.
That helps a little bit.
First time in 6 years I haven't been a Scout leader. So
that's okay though. You're allowed to take things off your plate.
100% am. And speaking of, I will actually not be here next week. You and Katie are going to cover a book together, and I'm going to take a break so I can catch up on some work stuff.
And Katie and I, that is actually the perfect book for Katie and I after the last time Katie and Molly had an episode. So they kind of go together.
Didn't you guys do Killers Age Gracefully or something like that?
No, we did. We did last time.
Killers of a Certain Age. Oh, How to Be Eaten. But you also did Killers of a Certain Age.
I thought you and I did that.
No, because I was supposed to be having surgery and take a month off.
Right.
Or two weeks off or something like that.
Right.
And so you guys did two episodes back to back.
The most recent I've done with her is How to Be Eaten. So they were in a row.
You did both of them back to back.
Yeah. But.
But yes.
The fairy tales go together, and we're going to get into that.
Yeah, well, like, not this week, because I didn't
know. No.
You get into it next week.
I will say this one thing, and I'm saving this for you. We're going to have I have a whole question that's prepared about a library rant for you. Because if you read this book, you would have a whole rant about what happens in this library. And so I am saving it for Katie and I to have an April-style rant.
I don't think people really know what happens in a library. A week ago, I had to go to the library on my day off to look for a snake. That was just
I didn't realize slithering Crocodile through the library. Dundee was in your resume.
So, I mean, even snakes like literacy. I can't take credit for that. My other best friend, Dawn, came up with that pun.
It was good.
All right, so we're
this
here.
Is a long ass book.
It is.
This is a long ass book. We're two, here this by week. The way, two audiobooks, guys. I did two audiobooks for this book.
Yeah. Do you want to? Can I tell them what book it is, Molly?
Fine. Okay. If you gotta do things in order.
So we read Binding 13 by Chloe Walsh, which is the first book in the Boys of Tommen series. And if you are looking online, I have the special edition, the special Barnes & Noble edition with the pink sprayed edges. And it's got little art in it, which is really cute. And it's pretty. Yeah. But this book is 606 motherfucking pages long.
600 and yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the words she said.
And six motherfucking pages long. This one has two bonus scenes in it. So I guess technically the book should be like 602 pages, but whatever.
It didn't need bonus scenes. It did not.
Well, one of the bonus scenes should have just been included. It contextually made sense, but we read this book because it is a viral sensation, and you want to talk about
Let's do that, because Let me give a synopsis.
Binding 13 is the first book in the viral Boys of Tommen series by Chloe Walsh. This YA series deals with difficult themes such as abuse of a child, sexual assault, depression, bullying, and self-harm. Listener discretion is advised. In Binding 13, we follow Shannon, like the river, as she begins her studies at the private boarding school Tommen College in Cork County, Ireland. Although Shannon is halfway through her third year, which is the equivalent of 10th grade in the U.S., she is a transfer student to Tommen after extreme bullying at her public school left her physically and mentally broken. On Shannon's first day at Tommen, she mistakenly finds herself the center of ridicule when she crosses the rugby pitch as junior professional rugby player and sixth-year student Johnny throws a tantrum and punts a rugby ball badly, hitting Shannon in the back of the head and knocking her unconscious. In addition to the head injury, Shannon's skirt rips, revealing her panties to all the rugby lads. Johnny rushes to her rescue, becoming a hero to her trials at Tommen. Predictably, Johnny and Shannon begin a friendship that intertwines romantically, despite the fact that Johnny is nearly 3 years older than Shannon and far more experienced. Over the 600 pages of this novel, we begin to learn more about both characters, including additional trauma that makes their binding even stronger.
Which is wild. We are 600 pages in this, and it's just the beginning for these two.
Yeah, so I thought the second one was shorter. I thought the second one was shorter, but no, it's actually the same length. But like, so why? The series is like interconnected duologies, not standalones. So some of them are short and some of them are long, but right now, I think there are 5 or 6 books out right now. I'm just going to look real quick. All right, so there are currently 6 books in the series. She's not done. And the first two are Shannon and Johnny, Binding 13 and then Keeping 13. And then the next two are Saving 6 and Redeeming 6. And that one is about Shannon's brother and his girlfriend.
Which makes sense. But he's
not a rugby player, so I'm not sure how that's going to like come in there.
But he was trying to get him to play rugby, wasn't he?
No, he plays the Irish...
No, but the boyfriend, not boyfriend, was trying to get him to come to the... Oh, fuck, I don't know. There's a lot of things that happen in 600 pages, guys.
Yeah. And then book 5 is Taming 7, which is Gibson
needs it.
And
yeah.
Claire.
Perfect.
And then...
Which, they need a story. Their story needs to be played out.
And then Releasing 10 is Lizzie and Hugh.
Okay.
Which is Claire's brother.
Right.
Which is not who she's dating in this book.
Right. I know.
So
I know.
Anyway, so that's what's going on. So let's do some questions. Sound good?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
This book.
This book is another TikTok darling that started as an indie published series on KU.
It did.
The series has now been traditionally published, including special editions like the one that I have. Does it live up to the hype, and will you continue with the series?
Okay. Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I'm finishing this because of how this book ended.
How was it 600 pages and that's how it ended?
Okay. But am I going to read all of them? I don't know. Mm. Is it worth the hype? I also don't know. Because honestly, one, I was like, how is this book so fucking long? How is this book so fucking long? But then I'm like, how have I gotten through this book so fast at the same time? You know what I mean? I have very mixed feelings about this book for a lot of reasons. There's editing issues. There's storyline issues, I feel like. But there's so many words.
There's a lot of motherfucking
words. There's so many words, guys.
The words are wording.
And that makes me like on the fence on jumping into the next book in the series. Because it was really difficult to knock out a 600 page book in a week when we're doing it for this, right? So it really makes you question. It makes you go, why does this need to be this long?
Yeah. I don't think
it does. And that's why I'm on the fence.
And there are conflicting answers about if somebody gets paid by downloads or page count when they're an indie author. Count,
yeah.
So it's hard to say if it was made long because of that. But in my experience, a lot of these indie authors that we've read, either for pod or just on our own, it seems to be that they just don't know how to edit to a streamlined story. And Lucy Score is that way for me too. So I read her Knock 'Em Out series. Katie and I read the first one as part of Smut Girl Summer last year, not this year. And those books are very long. They're like 400 or 500 pages each for the trilogy. Yeah. And it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
But her books since then, that she's published since then, now that she's only traditionally publishing, her books are shorter because she knows she has someone to edit her down.
She has somebody to pare it down and teach her and coach her.
Yeah.
And you can't really... Re-releasing with edits really upsets fans.
I know.
So you can't go back and fix Binding 13. You know what I mean? I mean, you could...
But I think that's probably why her books have gotten shorter, because now someone is telling her you can't write 600 pages like this.
But about teens.
But here's the thing. With all of that said, I really enjoyed this book. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Half for me, I think. 4?
Yeah. And I didn't feel like I read 600 pages. Like, behind the scenes for those of you.
I felt the two audiobooks, I promise you.
I bet you did.
Because of ADHD, man.
Well, yeah, of course. This is like some behind the scenes drama that you all wouldn't know, but that Molly and I are actually behind filming this episode because of how long it was and because I was reading the physical book and also trying to work.
But it's not drama. It's just life.
Yeah, but my point is, I am not a fast reader, and I would sit down and read 50 pages and not realize I'd read 50 pages. Yeah. So even though it did take me a while, it was because I was trying to finish up other books for work.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the reading experience was really good. Like, it's a quick read. The content is rough.
Yeah.
It's a quick read for a 600-page book. Like, when I read a 600-page book, I usually feel like I'm slugging through it, but I didn't feel that way with this one.
Yeah.
I do plan to read the rest of the series. I've already ordered, I don't even know if it came yet or not, or Keeping it can be 13. On my shelf. I already ordered Keeping 13, and I got the special edition from Barnes & Noble for that as well.
So they're paired.
Yeah, but those are the only two Barnes & Noble editions that they have right now, so I don't know if they're going to get more, or if it's just going to be, I'm going to have to buy the other editions, but at least this duology will be the same. Because, you know, my books have to match. It drives me insane.
I know. Oh, Piper borrowed Heartstoppers because she's trying to reach her reading goal. So she reread all of them, and she came up to me and started losing her mind about the bindings. And I was like, I didn't print those books. Go away. Go away. This is not a Molly problem.
I get it. I know. Yeah. I do plan to 100% finish this series.
I will. I just don't know how, when.
Honestly, if we didn't have a full filming schedule, I would dip on you. I would have rolled
into the next one.
Yeah.
If we weren't, like, if I didn't have the pot series, obligations.
Yeah,
because I want to, how it ended, I need.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Yeah.
So, when I suggested this book, I wasn't thinking about the fact that it was 600 pages.
Right.
Typically, we stay away from books with this sort of thick daddy length for the pod. Yeah. What did you think about the length, and was there room for editing? I guess we kind of covered that, but...
Edit!
Yeah.
Edit!
Why is there a whole chapter about a cat that poops in the bathtub? Why?
There are several...
Why? Why is there a whole chapter about that?
Like, okay, so the bus trip to the away game. Unnecessary, right? They needed that conversation for those two, but we did not need a whole chapter on it. Like, there's
There were parts of the bus trip that I would have cut out, but I do think we needed the scene with the two of them.
Right, agreed. But there is just so much... in these books where chapters were just full of, I hate to say this, but crap. Like, it's a lot of filler detail, which I love filler detail. I'm all about it, and I'm guilty of it myself as a writer, but 600 pages, man.
Yeah. And you know how, like, when books get made into movies and they, like, cut out characters and you're like, why would you do that? Like, that character mattered. You could get rid of... what is it? Liz, her friend that's not Chloe. Fucking hell.
The non-Biggs girls.
The Lizzie. You could get rid of Lizzie. Yeah. And it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her character wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
You can completely get rid of that.
Yeah.
You could also get rid of, like, whole set scenes where Johnny goes to the pub and Bella's there. We get it.
Yeah.
She's a bitch. Like, it was just a lot.
Like, there's scenes at the house, like, with her parents we didn't need. There is just so many.
There's definitely parts that you could, like, take an X-Acto knife and cut them out and the story would be fine. But, like I said, I would read 50 pages and not realize that I read 50 pages. Like, but it was a very fast 600 pages.
this was edited. I can tell it was edited, mm-hmm. but it's a stream of consciousness book, if that makes sense, where the author is just shitting everything out and then it's just going. And but there's no stopping. In some
ways that works because they're teenagers.
Yes. But I also would say that the because of that okay. The writing isn't immature for them being teenagers, though.
Mm-hmm. No, I really like her storytelling. Yes. She's a really good storyteller.
But I mean,
she needs an editor, but
I think she must have one by now if she's traditionally publishing.
Right.
It's just less, guy. Mm-hmm. But without, like, taking a red pen to the novel, it's...
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know how to explain that.
But this book is a hell of a lot better than the other Irish book that we read.
Yeah, Ainsley.
Yeah, and this book, the beginning of the book gives pronunciations and meanings of, like, translation. Yeah. It has a glossary. But name pronunciations. C-A-O-I-M-H-E. Kiva. C-A-O-I-M-H-E is Kiva.
No, it's not.
No?
No, it's not.
And then I kind of wonder, this is a question that we can't get answered, but I kind of wonder if in her original writing, her brother, Shannon's brother, Owen, was spelled the way that it's translated here.
Yeah.
Which is E-O-G-H-A-N.
Probably.
Because but it was that's supposed to be Owen, but I think that they changed it. But so, Kiva, that's the one I'm like, that's not, no, there's no way that's
correct. So I did the audiobook and male and female narrator, which was nice. Yeah. But when people complain about redneck and hillbillies and their accents, I understand when they say now they don't understand what everybody's saying because. Mm-hmm. There were times, like, their accents were true and traditional and thick. So every once in a while, I was like, wait, what did he say? What word was that? You know what I mean? So while it got me in the story and it helped me follow the storyline, it was, they were pretty intense.
I didn't listen to the audiobook at all, but it is on Hoopla. If your library system has Hoopla, it's most likely on there. You do have to use two of your borrows, though, because it is in two parts.
Yeah.
But I read the physical book and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
All right. So Shannon has a lot of trauma in her backstory. From the beginning, we know that she faced bullying at school for like her whole life. But as the story progresses, we learn that the real trauma is the violent abuse she experiences at the hands of her father. Did we need both traumas to make the story work?
No, but it's real.
Yeah.
The kid that gets picked on is usually being picked on at home.
Well, I felt like what made it connect so well was when she has that conversation with her mom, when she's like, you're trying to protect me from bullies at school, but you won't protect me from the bully in our house. Yeah. Like, that's really the problem.
I felt that scene when I was in middle school. Story time, kids. I was heavily bullied by two girls specifically, but one of them was the leader. And she jumped me a few days before Christmas break so she could get a couple days off early. For Christmas break. When I got home, you know, because who doesn't want some free time off? When I got home, my father yelled at me for getting his drug dealer's daughter in trouble.
Oh my gosh.
It was my fault.
Yeah.
That was my fault.
Yeah.
So I that is real. That is real.
Yeah.
And she writes the trauma from a place that is very realistic for those that have seen, dealt, felt, smelt, you know, the deals.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that she connected it well. I don't know that we need both of them, but I guess there had to be a reason why Shannon went to the other school.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a Rory Gilmore situation, but they weren't wealthy, but So no, I guess that one worked. But I will say that the abuse at home is more detailed than what we hear about at school, because that's happening past tense. And it's alarming. It's definitely triggering for people, for sure. And yeah, Chloe Walsh has a trigger warning at the beginning of this book, so.
Understandably so. It's, yeah, it's realistic, as usually the only thing I will say is usually if they pick one person mm-hmm. in the family, that's their person. Mm-hmm. They don't bounce from mom yeah. to dad to mom to dad to, you know, whoever they're. It's usually just the one person they abuse in the house. So,
I mean, that's not always true, but yeah, it can be. All right. So I want to talk a little bit more about Shannon's family. So she's okay. the third of five children.
Right.
No, the third of six children. Six excuse children. Me.
Well,
the oldest is not in the house anymore. She's the only girl.
Right.
Shannon's mother works outside the home while Shannon's father drinks and gambles. One of Shannon's brothers has already disappeared after he came out as gay, and their father beat the shit out of him because of it. Mm-hmm. The younger three kids are quite young. There's one that's actually three. And what did you think about the family structure? Did you feel like it was authentic looking at it as it, from the American lens? Because we're not Irish.
Yes and no.
Okay.
What bugged me about this family structure was, and all this, okay, this is actually a bell ringer for me. All this description, these 600 pages of everything we talk about, we're playing video games, we're taking two showers, we're doing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We never explain why grandma doesn't talk to mom and dad. We never explain that.
But I think grandma doesn't talk to mom and dad because of the way that they behave.
But she's still helping the kids.
If she's helping the kids, but she's not helping them. She doesn't do it for them. She does it for the babies.
But she's only doing it till the kids are a certain age. Then mm-hmm. she's like, y'all are on your fucking own. Figure it out.
It didn't really bother me because it didn't really bother me because I feel like she was old and wasn't really able to do any of it. So the fact she was doing anything was kind of amazing. Hmm.
I don't know. It's just weird that she was selective on what age group she was helping.
Yeah, but the littles can't at all take care of themselves. But no. The older kids can at least, you know, clothe and feed themselves.
Take the littles and the bigs in. They'll freaking take care of each other in your house. I don't know. I'm picking at straws here now.
This is where I feel like this book, as an American, doesn't make sense. I don't know what the children's services situations are in Ireland. Right. We do get a little glimpse of it that the oldest brother.
They got the house because of all the kids, right? What? That's what they were saying. They were saying at some point, she was talking about.
They get a check every month. It's like a welfare check. They're
also talking about the house. The oldest son that's still there said they'd take the house from you too. They gave you that for us. So yeah. I'm wondering.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm wondering how much they would lose if they lost the kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they definitely would lose all those checks they get, because they get a check for each one of them.
I really would. I'd be curious to see how much government assistance they really truly were getting, because the way others talked about her side of town was like it's the ghetto or something.
Yeah, it's subsidized housing.
Yeah.
So for me, this is where I have trouble with this. So she's the only girl, and she's kind of the one that's forced to cook and clean, and that doesn't seem unusual to me. I am the only girl of four kids, and I had to do all the cooking and cleaning when my mom was gone, which she was gone a lot.
Eldest daughters, man. We get the job done.
Even if I weren't the eldest daughter, I'm pretty sure I still would have had to do it. The rules for me were so different than the rules for my brothers.
Really?
Which is why two of them got girls knocked up in high school.
Sorry.
And my youngest brother got suspended for having pot at school. And I was the one that got arrested.
Budding entrepreneur.
I was not doing anything wrong, but my mom still had me arrested. That's a story for another time.
That's a non-pod conversation.
That's a non-pod trauma dump. But so Shannon being the only girl and being forced to kind of be the mom, that felt authentic to me. But what didn't feel normal completely was the fact that the family that was involved, like Nana, didn't do anything to try to procure full custody of the kids. Like, she never tried to get them. And even when their mom, like, basically gave them to the state because she was having health issues, the grandma didn't try to take them. Like, she didn't. She was probably drowning too.
She was probably drowning too.
Yeah. But they went to foster care. And while in foster care, the oldest brother, who's not in the house anymore, Darren is his name, he was basically raped repeatedly while he was in foster care. And then when he came out as gay, his dad basically blamed it on that. But her brother is like, nah, if you paid any bit of attention to him, you would have known.
There's a lot fucked up in that family.
The other thing that I really question in this, and this is not to say that women don't remain in abusive situations, because 100% they do. But there never seemed to be any, like, I wonder if the Catholic Irish of it all is the reason that the family structure remained the same.
And she just kept picking him over the kids.
I mean, literally, the book ends with her picking him. Literally.
Like, they literally go, him or us. Him or us. Mm-hmm. And she's just standing there. Mm-hmm. And this is also set in the early 2000s, late 90s. So,
yeah, I think it's 2005 is when it's set.
Yeah. So, like, we are also dealing with a little bit of a time difference, too. So things were different back
2005.
Then.
2005. Yeah.
Yeah. Things were a little bit different back then. Mm-hmm. Things were a little bit harder back then. I don't know. The Irish Catholic of it all is very much a muddy part of it.
Right. I agree. They don't ever mention that they're Catholic. I'm just making an assumption. So, I mean,
well, and it's insinuated, you know, that like they all are, you know, a little bit.
We could be wrong, but it feels probably. Like it. But anyway, I don't know. I just felt like, I feel like there's a compelling story there of just Shannon's life. Yeah. But you cannot have a novel that's only all that trauma.
No.
There's got to be something redeeming. There's got to be something redeeming. All right. So pivoting to Johnny here. Johnny is a star rugby player. He's essentially signed to what is like a minor league rugby team.
Right.
And it's prepping him to play professionally. And I'll be honest, I don't understand all the mechanics of it, but that's like the Irish national team has this thing called an academy, and they're basically like training up their athletes. I just know
what Alona Morris taught me.
Listen, that is literally in my notes here. However, Johnny has a secret. He was injured pretty badly. He tore his abductor muscle, and he had to have surgery, but he's not recovering well.
So what did you think about his
backstory? Was it believable?
Yeah. I mean, you see this all the time here in the States with football kids, baseball kids, track kids. They push themselves too hard.
Yep.
They accidentally get steroids. Things happen that their career path changes. I had a cousin that was supposed to play for the Astros, and then he fucked his knee up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People, you know. Yeah,
I was never good enough that I was going to play softball past high school. I played for 3 traveling teams in high school.
That's amazing.
But I was never going to play. I mean, I probably could have played at the collegiate level, but I was never going to play beyond that.
Right.
And I still would play injured because you don't want to let your team down because you've got to prove your toughness.
I played field hockey with a broken thumb. That's what you did. And
I cannot imagine how much pain he was in because he had groin surgery. They literally cut right next to his balls and had to repair that muscle there.
Yeah.
And that's rugby already,
is not a gentle sport.
And that's already a highly sensitive area.
Mm-hmm. And he's growing because he's a boy and he's a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that I kept thinking about if this was my son's. And I mean,
I honestly would be more observant of my kid, I feel like.
No, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I feel like Johnny's story feels real. Like, of course, if the only thing he's good at is sports, which is what he's convinced himself. But that's what he's convinced himself of. The only thing that he's good for is what he can do on the rugby pitch.
Right.
So of course he's going to play injured. Of course he is.
But it's not. He already knows his backup plan. He knows he's good at math. He knows he's good at sciences. He knows he's going to be get his degree in.
But his backup plan is for after he retires. It's not a backup plan. It's a retirement plan.
He's smart.
He's decided if he doesn't make the national team, the under 20 team,
mm-hmm.
which for the summer, if he doesn't make it, he says my life is over.
Which that's just a dramatic teenager being fucking dramatic.
But here's the thing. The only thing I can relate this to in this country, and probably just because I just don't know enough about athletics, but the only thing I can relate this to in this country is gymnastics. Because gymnastics, those girls and boys start when they're quite young, and they really are trained up. Figure skating would be another one. Oh, I guess swimming. Dance. A lot of things at the Olympics.
Dance, too. If you see kids that do dance, after a certain age, they're no longer...
Yeah. And ballet. And they go through essentially academies to train them up to be Olympians. So that's what I put it towards. And I mean, there is so much evidence that these girls, that they do gymnastics hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much evidence of it.
I mean, those girls work their bodies so hard that they don't have full menstrual cycles until they're in their 20s because they've beat themselves into such a muscular tiny little knot that their body's like, well, we can't do this.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's awful what we allow our kids to do to themselves.
Yeah. All right. Johnny is kind of famous, but Shannon has no idea who he is. This is one of those things that Johnny, it's one of the things Johnny really likes about her. So in contrast, his ex hookup, Bella, wants Johnny for the clout.
Yeah.
Is it too cliche or did she pull this off? I mean, it's actually, very clearly a trope.
It's very much a trope, but I think she pulled it off. I don't find it cheesy or corny in any way. I don't feel like she beat the trope over the head. There's another trope of hers in here I'm going to bitch about, but this isn't it.
Yeah, I think she did a really good job with it. It makes sense that Shannon wouldn't know who he was. Like, sometimes I feel like this trope happens and we're like, how the fuck did she not know who he was?
But some people don't follow football. Some people don't watch hockey.
Can I just tell you what the fact that she didn't know him reminded me of? And the fact she didn't know anything about rugby. It reminded me of Taylor and Travis. And if you haven't seen the New Heights podcast episode.
Oh my God, I'll put the link.
Where Taylor was on. They don't need us to link to them, Molly. They have enough going on. We need them to link to us. Mentioned on their first date that she asked him, so what was it like to look across, the line and see your brother? And the way Taylor handled it was with such grace. He was like, well, actually, we're both on, offense. And he made her feel very comfortable because she didn't know anything about football. And there are many men that would have just made that come on.
Going you're joking, kidding, right?
You're kidding, right?
You don't know the difference between defense and offense?
right.
Yeah, but exactly.
And Johnny could have been that guy you don't know who I am? What the fuck is wrong with you? Of course, I'm Johnny. And he wasn't like that. So I actually think they did a really good job with it. I like that Johnny finally had somebody that saw him.
Right. I think that's the draw of Taylor and Travis. They make each other normal people, right? We get to see them in love, falling for somebody that makes them giddy and cute and silly and matches their energy. And I think that's kind of the point of this is he needs somebody to bring him down to earth because she's the first person to be like, what are you doing? Why aren't you taking care of yourself?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and I saw a TikTok edit of Taylor being asked, what's something you've always wanted to try, but you're too afraid to do it?
Yes! Did she go to be an NFL player?
No, mm-hmm. She said Coachella.
Oh, yeah.
And then it flipped to when she went to Coachella with Travis.
Oh, I've seen, there's edits from when she was on SNL, mm-hmm. and she's like, hey, Jimmy, I really want to be in the NFL. Can you help me out? And like, all right. Anyway.
All right. So Johnny's family dynamic is, it's also very interesting. His father is a barrister in Dublin and his mother is a fashion designer in London. Although seemingly happily married, they are not together very often. Additionally, they aren't with Johnny for most of the book. Dude, let me finish the question. I was already saying that.
Corey.
Do you think this felt authentic, or is it to rich kid nonsense? Is this like the rich kid nonsense story?
It's rich kid nonsense.
Do you feel like, how do you feel it compares to Shannon's family, and do you consider it to be neglect?
It's a different variation of neglect, but yeah. It's also rich kid nonsense, right? But mm-hmm. usually rich kid nonsense means that there's like a maid in the house.
That's what I was going to say too, but maybe like rich kid nonsense is different in Ireland. We don't know.
I don't know. American rich kid nonsense. There's somebody from a different land taking care of you, and mm-hmm. they teach you to speak Spanish, usually, mm-hmm. is how that mm-hmm. storyline goes. Mm-hmm. And, but in this, him being alone and them acting like he's already an adult mm-hmm. after this surgery.
Yeah.
That's what got to me. This kid had major surgery and you're just like, okay, buddy, I'm gonna go to London now. Don't fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. That bothered mom. That bothered the mother and me a lot.
I also feel like, just as a side note, I am kind of glad that there wasn't someone at home with him, because I feel like that would have led too easily into him fucking the maid.
Oh, God.
There was a lot of discussion about people hooking up with women who were adults when they were children
already. Adults going after the rugby players is disgusting.
Yeah,
but like, I'm assuming
the school secretary gives a blowjob to Gibbsy.
But I have a feeling this comes from a real place.
Well, it does. That's why I'm saying I feel like you could so easily have mm-hmm. the fucking the maid trope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know that would be a trope. That would be, I don't know what that would be, but it would not be good.
Nasty.
I feel like it's neglect as well. Like, obviously Shannon's neglect is more physical.
It's a different kind of neglect.
It's a different kind of neglect. I mean, Johnny is absolutely convinced that the only thing that he's worth is what he does in the rugby pitch, and mm-hmm. his parents aren't around to tell him otherwise.
No. And
he loses his fucking virginity at 13 years old.
Right. And his mom's just like, oh, okay.
No, she was not happy about it. She was not happy about it.
That's her own fault, man. She laid that gravel.
Right.
She laid that path with her own bare hands. You leave your kid unattended, you get what you fucking sow, man.
I kind of understand why they felt more like he was mature and grown, because he was traveling all over the country with the rugby, national rugby team.
But there was grown-ups taking care of him during that time.
I know.
They're full-time grown-ups.
When he lost his virginity, this is like talked about in the book for those of you who haven't read it yet. He's 13 when he loses his virginity, and he loses his virginity to a girl who's essentially like a senior. He's like a seventh grader and she's a senior. Mm-hmm. And he actually says that he knew that he was too young to be doing it.
Yeah.
But she let him do it and she came back for more. So, I mean, that's once again, people who are way too experienced going after him because of the clout.
But that's what happens when we give children clout and notoriety mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. should only be for adults. Look at freaking perfect example is Drew Barrymore dancing on David Letterman's desk as a 2-year-old, and then her flashing the David Letterman crowd at 25. She mm-hmm. never had a grown-up.
She was a drug addict by the time she was like 10 or 12 or something.
She was going to Studio 54.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As an 8-year-old.
Yeah. As an 8-year-old, because mm-hmm. she was a novelty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck these grown-ups, man.
All right, so Johnny tends to date older women, as I've already said.
Yeah, he does.
He lost his virginity at 13, as I've already said. He's mm-hmm. been with several women, and he's never actually really had a relationship. Conversely, Shannon has never kissed a boy. Does the virgin trope work here?
No. And it leads in, I don't like it because it's unnecessary. It's a long, this ties into the, she does not need to be the size of a rice grain.
We're going to talk about that.
It goes with that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like this whole, he's experienced and she's naive and he's big and bad and going to protect her from the world. And it's just, it gets under my skin in a way I cannot explain.
I'm not the biggest fan of the virgin trope with the more experienced guy, but I will say I feel like it worked here. And the reason is because of how her father treats her, calling her a whore and saying she's a slut and you're going to be just like your mom, which he's the one that knocked her mom up. So like, let's take some responsibility.
Obviously that was her fault.
It was her fault.
Obviously.
Because she was a whore.
And he is just a man. And what do you expect him to do?
And he screws around on her all the time. But because she had that innocence and he treated her like she was dirt, like that to me made that trope work here. It made it work.
Okay.
All right. My last three questions are not necessarily plot specific.
Okay.
I'm going to try that sentence again. My last three questions are not necessarily plot specific.
Did you say plot specific?
No, I said plot. I am not stoned.
Neither am I.
First, Shannon's body is constantly described as underdeveloped. She's small for her age, very young looking, doesn't get her first period until she's 16. And the male characters tend to be attracted to her because of these things.
Not watch on YouTube. Y'all can see my face. It's disgusting.
Is this creepy pedo vibes?
It's nasty. Mm-hmm. It's nasty.
I hated it.
Nasty!
I hated it. I mean,
it's the Olsen twins countdown all over again.
Oh, gosh. Remember? Ugh. Ugh. That's so gross. And here's the thing. Because she's like a sophomore and he's a senior, but he failed a year.
Mm-hmm.
And she failed a year. So it's like a junior and a freshman in high school, which is, that's an age gap of an adult with a teenager. But what really made it gross was the fact that everyone liked the fact that she looked young. They wanted her because she had small tits and little tiny panties. Like, and she was like this tall and they loved that.
Little Shannon.
Mm-hmm. Gibbsy called her Little Shannon the whole time. Like, it was a thing. They liked the fact that she was childlike. And that really grossed me out. And honestly, I maybe could have given this 4.7 five stars. It's still never going to be five stars for me because this is too long. There are whole chapters we can cut out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to lose points for me because of the fact
the pedophilia feel of it.
Yeah, it did feel like that. It was gross.
It's yucky
and very blatant.
It's very
and intentional. Like, it's not unintentional. Like, she intended for the reader to know these men want her because she looks young.
And the comparison of her versus him, and like, and what that means, you know, in the world, because he's a big, strong man and she's a tiny, beat up woman all the time.
But here's the thing.
The whole savior aspect, too.
But here's the thing, Molly. How many adult romance books do we read with the big man, small girl?
And I hate that.
You sent me a TikTok about how Taylor gets to be small girl.
But Taylor isn't normally small girl. Taylor is tall girl. Right. Taylor is tall for women. And Taylor, usually next to men, tower over them as soon as she puts heels on. And 90% of the boys Taylor is dated, she is taller than. So Taylor getting to be small girl,
Allie Hazelwood consistently writes big, giant man, tiny girl.
Yes.
And it doesn't bother me when she does it because they're adults.
Adults. That's consenting adults. But what bugs me about it is, we're setting up. She is broken. She's a tiny little broken bird. And he's this big, strong man. And he's going to fix everything for her. He's going to take her away from it all. He's.
Yeah.
I.
Do you want to know what it made me think of?
As a woman from that time of setup, you do not need a man to save you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But what did it make you think of?
It made me think of the movie Cruel Intentions, and specifically the scene when Ryan Phillippe's character asks, what's her name?
I hated that movie too growing up. And nobody,
I loved that movie.
Neve Campbell?
Neve Campbell is not in that.
Selma Blair.
That's what it is.
I was mixing up Neve Campbell and her for some reason. Neve Campbell and Selma Blair look very similar. That's why I was
That's why I thought that you were mentioning her. But so very specifically, the scene where he first meets her and she's matriculating to their school. And she's wearing a koala t-shirt.
Yeah.
And he says, "How's everything down under?" And she's got her legs apart a little bit so he can see her panties.
Yeah.
And she's meant to be a freshman and he's meant to be a senior.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
He specifically liked the fact that she was immature looking. He spends the whole movie trying to get the virgin.
I had double D's as a freshman in high school who used to be a tomboy. I know. That feeling. It's gross. Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. Anyway, moving on. All right. This book is described as YA. So we've talked a lot on this podcast about the different age categories of books. Do you think this book is YA?
If I handed this to my teenager, she would hate it. The amount this boy talks about his penis, she would be so mad. Piper skips sex scenes in books. She reads YA for the romance story, not the stuff about the genitals. So,
okay, but that's not what I'm asking. Content-wise, because the sex is not open door.
No.
There's no explicit
sex. No, there's no explicit sex.
But do you think the content is YA?
Yeah.
I disagree. Yeah. I think this book should be targeted to new adults.
But okay, the problem is that
new adults is not a section in bookstores or in libraries.
I can see that. But if you put it in adult fiction, then the younger crowd does. It's a weird mix.
We moved it in my library. We moved it from YA to adult. The trigger warnings and the content description actually says that the book is intended for audiences of 15 and over. And YA is 12 to 18.
Yikes.
Okay. 12-year-olds should not read this book.
12-year-olds should not be reading this book.
No.
But they are reading Colleen Hoover. So, you know, maybe check your kids' backpacks, guys.
Gosh. It's very disturbing. So, I'm sorry. I have to talk about the penis here for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I know you were bothered by how much Johnny talks about his penis.
I grew up with boys and I don't feel like they did this much.
You did not grow up with boys the way that I grew up with boys. And you're also not raising boys. So let me just tell you, everything is about the penis. Literally.
I don't want to talk about it that much.
They always do. I mean, there's a whole... Okay, so the other day, like a couple of days ago, I came home from work and we were sitting down to dinner and James was in his underwear. Only his underwear. And I was like, are we having naked dinner?
At least he was wearing underwear.
I was like, are we having naked dinner? So then Tom and Sam proceeded to strip down to their underwear too. Well, the amount of times that people are just penis out, balls flapping everywhere in this house... I'm the only woman.
Yeah, I'm good.
Boys talking about their penis is 100% a regular occurrence. The discussions that my brothers had about their penises, I was like grossed out, seriously. So it totally felt normal to me.
It's not realistic from my standpoint, but that's
it doesn't feel normal to have your best friend buy you lube that he's half used, but.
That's a scene that could have been cut out.
The penis talk is legit. All right. So finally, rugby. I personally don't know anything about rugby other than Alona Mar is a motherfucking beast. That's what I know. I love and so that much. The New Zealand rugby team always does haka's.
Yeah.
Is it essential to understand rugby to read this book?
No. I pictured football positions. It's very similar. When he was,
they use the same shape of ball too.
Yes. I did watch a YouTube video to get prepared for this book, and I'll put the link down below. It definitely.
I did too. I was gonna say that too.
It's probably the same one. I'll send it to you later. But it's very similar to football, but it's not football. You don't need to know it to read this book. Mm-hmm. If you're not a football girly and your boyfriend takes you to the game and he's like, yeah, did you see that tackle? You go, that's all it is, guys. That's all it is.
I was surprised at the fact that soccer was referred to as soccer.
Mm. But I think that was for the American audience.
It wasn't. I actually just Googled it to confirm this. It's because they call it soccer in Ireland to differentiate it from Gaelic football, which is what her brothers play.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, anyway, I don't know anything about rugby.
This isn't a video. Rugby book. It's a book that has rugby in it. Does that make sense, ladies?
It's Jags, like if you read, they it's said, like, it's like if you read Hockey Loch Ness Romance, Monster. You don't have to know anything about hockey to know that the boys are hot.
They're big dudes that run into each other. They wear almost little to no protection in rugby, too, by the way. It is wild.
Yeah, they don't wear helmets. It is
wild. And they wear
beat spikes, the shit out of each other.
And wear spikes on each other. Like, I've seen, a rugby injury where a guy has a hole in his thigh permanently, mm-hmm. where they had to cut out around the muscle and, it was getting infected and they had to clear it all out. And
yeah, yeah.
He plays the rest of the game with the hole.
Of course he did. Did I miss anything you wanted to talk about? Or are we good with moving on to what we're doing next week?
Next week.
All right.
I'm good.
So next week, just a reminder, I will not be here next week. We will have Nurse Katie filling in with Molly.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
You guys are reading Death of a Fairy Tale?
A Fairy Tale.
Put that right here. I don't have a copy of it. You guys are
this book. I think would
Katie
make,
read the ebook.
You know how there are certain books in pod season and you're like, I hate you, Molly. I can't believe you fucking made me read this.
Mm-hmm.
This would be that book.
I am very familiar with that problem.
Yes, that is this book. But that's what you get when you have Molly as a co-host.
I'm certain, Molly, that this won't be the only book that you picked this season that I would say, fuck you, Molly.
We'll find out.
We did actually...
Barrier Gaze, I think, is going to make you really mad because that's going to be scary as shit.
Oh, it's horror, for sure.
Yeah,
but I did get a copy of it from the library. I actually have all of our October books already from the library.
I bought it for myself at Barnes & Noble's. I haven't been buying books. I bought this, and I bought this.
Nice.
So, anyway.
All right, so next week, Death of a Fairy Tale with Molly and Nurse Katie. Don't forget to check out BeAwesomeReadbooks.com. Use the code HELLOBESTIES to get free shipping. Besties. The shirts are really comfortable. They're really soft. They do not shrink. They're size inclusive. They have all the way to 5X. I'm wearing a 2X.
I'm wearing a large. I'll show you how big the large is. If you're on the...
Look.
I am 5'5".
This is a 2X, and it doesn't fit me. It's not too tight. It's wonderful.
I am 5'5". It is very loose on me.
Yeah, it's very comfortable. The colors are all those heather colors, which are my favorite t-shirt colors. So they're really beautiful. The bookmarks are incredible. You know, get yourself
maybe next
some
week
free
actually
shipping.
Have my green shirt.
Yeah, well, we can hope. All right, that's it, Bessie.
That'll be dead. You'll just see his head up here.
Don't hang his head on the pod. I don't want to be affiliated with that.
No killing Matt.
Right. Okay. All right. Bye, besties. We'll see you next week.
See you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Carpe Librum, the shop that has bookish things for bookish people. And right now, you can get free shipping by using the code HELLOBESTIES, which is good for the month of September. Today's book was Binding 13 by Chloe Walsh. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins, editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the book besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the book besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.